Thanks so much for tuning into the Rage Student Ministries podcast. Here's one of the current messages from our youth group, and I hope that it speaks to you. It's easy to find one that will compromise, but it's not easy to find one that's willing to stand. We'll go to hell, that's why. But to heaven, it's a one way, one truth, one life. That's why we're not ashamed of the name of Jesus, and we don't care. All right, so we're in a series called Greater. See, you didn't even need to come before to know what series we were in. Look at that. Greater is the idea that we are all called to greater plans, greater purposes than what we're really living for now. Does that make sense? It's more than just what you're currently experiencing. It is the pursuit of a higher purpose. Pursuit of a higher plan. It's that God dream that He's put into you that you're not there yet. And the thing with greater is it's a lifelong journey, right? You could easily say, oh man, you know, once I reach my calling, then I've achieved greater. No, it's a journey. It's a journey to continually grow closer to God. It is ultimately a lifestyle. Now, we've all met people who are passionate about something, right? You know the people I'm talking about? They get a little crazy sometimes. Everything they want to do, everything they want to talk about is about this one thing. It could be anything, really, but it's what they're passionate about. Now, something I was very passionate about when I was younger was motocross. Used to race motocross. Absolutely loved it. It was a ton of fun. I knew who all the top riders were. I knew what the latest gear was that came out. I knew what gear the top riders wore. I knew all the standings. I knew the newest bikes that were coming out and their horsepower specs and torque ratios and stock gearings. And a lot of you are going, don't know. I knew the official rules. I knew when the next races were. I was all into this. It was what I did. I was passionate about it. I was fully immersed into the motocross culture and lifestyle. It was ultimately really all I wanted to do, all I wanted to talk about, all I wanted to experience. I know in life, we immerse ourselves into many different things. Some things good, some things bad. Things like music. Love music. I think music just connects with our soul. I don't know what it is about it. I love music. Friends, we immerse ourselves in our friendships or in family. We immerse ourselves in companies or clothing and social media. Sometimes we even immerse ourselves in ourselves. You know those people. We can immerse ourselves in money or in relationships. But immersion is really just going beyond like the like of something. This is taking on the culture of that thing. It is having a passion for it. It consumes you. You burn for it. You burn for it. Think of it like this. You can tell the difference between somebody who's passionate for football and just somebody who likes football, right? He's a dude with like the full body paint. He's like, yeah. And it's like preseason game. You're like, dude, it's like Pee Wee scrimmage. What the heck? You can tell the difference between somebody who likes technology and who is passionate about technology. Am I right? I'm right. You can tell the difference between somebody who likes video games and who's passionate about video games. I saw a Facebook post today, and it went like this. It was hilarious. It was, I really need some help. And I'm thinking this is going to be like a serious question. And it was like, which gaming console should I get? PS4? Or Xbox One. I literally laughed out loud. Now, I would never say who it was, his name in public, but it was Jacob Beatty, so give him a hard time next time you see him. But I was like, wow. So he is like immersed into video games right now. I just was like, wow. Okay, so that's a serious question. So everybody get on there and be like, dude, this is what I think you should get, because apparently it was pretty important. So the definition of being immersed. So I said that a few times. We've talked about this idea of immersed. The definition of this is to be submerged into a water or into a liquid. And that's because water comes all around you. It consumes you. And in the Bible, this is why it speaks of Jesus when he got baptized coming up out of the water. It was showing us in the language context that it meant that he went down into it, that he was surrounded in this baptism. But it also means to be deeply involved in a particular interest, in an activity, to really be consumed with something. It's passion. Immersion is passion. So what are you immersed in? What kind of things stir your heart? What makes your heart beat a little more? What are you passionate about? What is most important to you? If there was that one thing in your life where it was like, you could get rid of everything, but here is my one thing. Don't touch my one thing. What would that be? What consumes you? Let's pray. Father, I thank you that tonight we can just get into your word. We can learn a little more about what it means to serve you and to follow you. God, I pray that you will show us areas of our lives that we immerse ourselves into that maybe we're putting in front of you. Father, help us to realize what it is you want to teach us tonight. And I just pray, Lord, that you'll teach us through your word. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, if you got your Bibles, you should open up to 1 Kings chapter 19. It's where we've been the last few weeks. We have been in the story of Elisha. Now, Elisha, as you know, he was pursuing a calling to greater. He did a few pretty critical things. He took a step off the baseline, a step out of average, and then he turned around and he just like destroyed the things that would stop him from ever going back. Because he said, if I'm going to serve God, there is no turning back on this. I'm all in. So in 1 Kings 19, verses 19 through 21, it's our text verse. If you guys aren't there yet, you guys there? There? There. All right. Sweet. You should be. This is the third week we've been in it. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, not Snapchat. We've been over this. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, he said, and then I'll come with you. Go back, Elisha replied. So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen, he slaughtered them, he burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and become his servant. So like I said, text verse the last few weeks, you've seen that the call to greater was just the first step. He responded to it. He stepped out. He's saying, man, there's something more to life. And this resonates with all of us. There is something inside of each of you built into your DNA that says, there's more to my life than just sucking air. There's more to my life than just working for 30, 40 years and retiring. There's more to life than just average. We see also that he went out, he burned his plows. He's saying, man, if this call to greater is going to be my all-consuming passion, I'm not going to have anything to go back to because what's the point? I'm not going to go back anyways. Why keep this stuff? So he offered it up to God. He gave him full trust by not leaving anything to back to. He immersed himself fully into this calling to greater. And this is our call as Christians. This is our call as a new creation to Jesus. The old's gone. We don't need it. Immerse yourself into the new. Immerse yourself into Jesus. Now we see Elisha, by taking that first step off a baseline and burning these plows, was getting that immersion. He was letting this call of greater just consume him. This God desire consume every part of his soul. Nothing else mattered to him but the pursuit of this. I want you guys to turn over to 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings 2, I'll give you the verse in a minute. Just flip over, it's a few pages too. You're right. So by this point, we know that Elisha had been mentoring under Elijah. He was learning, he was growing, he was serving. He was really going after this thing. He was putting himself all in. And it's amazing when you look biblically at those people who are mentoring, what that really means. It means they're serving under somebody else. It means that they're learning from these other people. It's not just having somebody give them some advice here and there, because I think that's really the idea we get of mentorship a lot of times. We say, I want to be mentored, but what we really mean by that sometimes is that, you know, I want people to say good things to me and encourage the good, but not challenge the things that need growth. Now, what real mentorship is, what biblical mentorship, and we see this in the story of Elisha, is saying, you know what, I want somebody who's walked this before me to speak into my life. I want somebody to share with me the good things and the not so good things, because I want to grow. I want to learn what I can. And biblical mentorship is serving under somebody. It's that person investing into you as a spiritual father or mother, and that person correcting us when we need it, even when we don't see it, and speaking truth and others won't. Sometimes that hurts a little bit. But you can see the benefit of this continual mentorship in Elisha through Elisha. Now, the text verse mentions Elisha going to be his servant. It doesn't say mentor. It says he goes to be a servant, but we know he was mentoring. Interesting correlation, isn't it? It doesn't say mentor, it says servant. He goes to be his servant in 1 Kings 19:21. The beginning of this mentorship is right there. Now, we see the culmination of really the servant mentorship in 2 Kings chapter 2. Pick it up in the 11th verse. As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, "My father, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel." And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment. He tore it in two. It's a sign of grieving. So if you're like, why is he tearing his clothes? Elisha then picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him. He went back and he stood on the bank of the Jordan. I want you to get a few things out of this. First thing is verse 12. Elisha, it says that he cried out when he seen that his spiritual father, his mentor, the one who he had left everything to serve underneath of, had been taken to heaven. What do you think when you hear the word cried out? It's not like, oh, that sucks. It's a little more, isn't it? It's like, my father, my father. He's probably dropping to his knees just in shock and awe. And in the Israelite customs, tearing your clothes was a sign that you were in grief. That's why he did that. He's just grieving, my father is gone. But he thinks of him as a father. It shows the depth of that mentorship. It shows how much he immersed himself into preparing for what was next. And even in that, can you imagine the emotions spinning around in his head? Things like, what am I supposed to do now? I'm not ready for this. I can't do this alone. That's the guy that led us everywhere we were supposed to go. He's out of here. And now the responsibility falls on me. It's got to be a lot of pressure. And then to add to all this, you see other people who do what he does, other prophets, all day long, everywhere they're going to saying, hey, don't you know that Elijah, he's leaving today. God's taking him home. And he's like, yeah, I don't want to talk about it. You see that. And so you see these other people that have witnessed what's happened standing there. So now he's feeling the pressure of, man, all eyes are on me. I've put everything into this. I've immersed myself into this calling. This had to be just a sea of emotions. Everything just kind of spinning around him going, oh my goodness, what do I do next? And you see in verse 13, he did something amazing. He picks up the cloak of Elijah. The cloak, the very symbol of Elijah's calling. He picks it up. And then in verse 14, it says this. It says, he took the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and he struck the water with it. Now, in previous passage, as they were walking that day, Elijah struck the water. It parted, and they walked through on dry ground. And everybody's like, whoa, this dude is legit. So now, he picks up that cloak, strikes it, and does the same thing. Where now is the Lord, the God of Elisha, he asked. When he struck the water, it divided right to left, and he crossed over. So it's cool. He hits the water the same way he had seen his mentor, father, do it before, and he showed everybody that day looking that he was fully immersed into this greater calling, that he had been all in for the last several years, that he was immersed in what God wanted for him, and he had been willing to prepare for the last several years for this calling to greater. It's an amazing thought. Now, I want you to get this main point, and this is where we're heading with this whole thing, is the call to greater really takes off when you immerse yourself into the presence of Jesus. When you immerse yourself into your relationship with Jesus, the same way Elisha immersed himself into his relationship with God. Now, to immerse is to just radically obey, to take those steps that God asks you, for Jesus to be that number one importance above all else in your life. And for many of you tonight, the cloak of greater is lying ahead in your future. It's lying there. Maybe you don't know what that cloak looks like yet, but it's there. Every one of you has a cloak lying there waiting for you. And the question is, will you take the time now to immerse yourself and to prepare yourself to pick up this cloak? Because the calling of greater is preparing to really step up to the next level. See, we think a lot of times that we can wait until we're to that point. Well, I'll wait until I see this here. But the simple truth is that God is using now to prepare you. These are the training grounds that will dictate the depth of greater that you'll get to. We prepare now. What if Elisha hadn't been willing to really serve or learn underneath Elijah? What if he wasn't willing to take the now to prepare for the greater later? What if he said, yeah, I guess I'll just seek greater. I'll prepare for my calling, you know, when I finish schooling. I'll just finish schooling. I'll go to like rabbi school or prophet school. I'm not old enough right now to have an impact. Or maybe it could have been the other way around. Oh, I'm just too old for this. Or I don't have enough time right now. I'll do it when I have enough time. Or maybe when I have more friends who are willing to come along with me, then I'll worry about it then. Or it doesn't just really seem worth it. You know, all this calling to great, that's a whole lot of work. You know, maybe God will just drop it into my lap. You know, he's a God of infinite wonders. He'll just drop this golden opportunity into my lap. It'll take no effort for me, and I'll pick it up and run and be totally successful and awesome, and it won't require any effort on my part. What if he would have said that? I think we'd be reading a whole different thing. But the thing is he didn't. He didn't say that. There's something that Elisha understood is that a calling is not a guarantee. A calling is not a guarantee. It's what you do with that calling that determines the choosing. I've known a lot of people who've had callings in their lives, and they've done nothing with it. Done nothing with it. They've wasted it away. These are good people. They just weren't willing to immerse themselves in the now to prepare for the later. They just said, well, if I'm called to do this, if I'm called to go into ministry, I'm called to be an engineer, or I'm called to be an architect, or I'm called to run my own business, then it'll just come to be. It's just whatever. But the thing is, they didn't take the now to prepare for the later. I want you young people to not make that mistake. That mistake is called pride, and it'll destroy the calling that God has placed on your life for greater. God's called each of you to a greater plan and purpose. Will you allow yourself to be fully immersed for Jesus? To have one passion drive your life, one passion dictating your dreams and your goals. One passion. Will you take the steps now to pursue that greater purpose? For Elisha, there was no greater feeling than stepping to his calling. I guarantee when he reached out and he picked up that cloak, even in the sea of emotions, there was a sense of, I'm ready for this. Even though he felt unready, because you know you can feel multiple things at once. I'm ready for this. Because he took the current last several years, his now situations, to prepare. He took the time to immerse himself in God. So what are you immersed in? Maybe it's that TV series. You like Netflix season 4. Whatever. You like watch him like binge back to back to back to back to back. You're immersed in this thing. Maybe it's a certain band. Maybe it's the newest fashions. Maybe it's friends or relationships. Maybe it's your image. You just want people to see you a certain way. Or maybe it's something more. Maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it's like you just want to go deeper with Jesus. You want to see people come to know him. Maybe it's missions. Your heart just breaks when you see the lost. And you say, God, there's got to be more. Let this greater calling consume me. Jesus isn't the center of our one passion, then we risk someone or something else taking the place of the throne in our hearts that belongs to Jesus. I want you to understand that if Jesus is not the center of our one passion, we run the risk of someone or something taking the throne of our hearts. That one passion will consume you, but it's your choice what it is. So tonight, where are you? What drives you? What consumes you? What makes you get out of bed in the morning? What motivates you? Everybody here, just go ahead, bow their head, close their eyes. You know, I mentioned this in worship, but there's three people in this room tonight. There's those whose one passion is for Jesus. You want to live for him. You want to serve him. You want to do everything you can for him. And that's a good place to be. Second group is those who have accepted Jesus, but they haven't fully immersed themselves in. You know, and honestly, this is the place where most of us are. We believe in Jesus, we follow him, we love him, but there's areas in our lives that we're holding back. And third place is those of us here who don't know Jesus at all. They're away from him, not walking in a current relationship. I wonder, you know, which one are you in? It's not the time for notes right now. Every head bowed, every eye closed. So if you don't know Jesus, if you're away from him, I'm going to ask you, what's holding you there? What's keeping you in that place? What's stopping you from really giving everything? Why not take the plunge, step into that relationship? And I'm not talking about religion. This isn't about that. This is about a personal encounter with the one who created you. It's a relationship. God is relational. He has a far greater plan for your life than you could ever imagine. You've got to know him first. If that's you, you're away from him, or you just want to give your life to him for the first time, you say, I'm ready for this. I'm just going to ask you to slip your hand up. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Well, I appreciate your guys' honesty. You know, if you're here tonight and you're not fully immersed yet, I ask you, what's stopping you? What's that thing that needs to be removed in your life? That thing that maybe last week you knew you should have burned, but you didn't. It's pride or fear. It's your own mental games restricting you. You need to just jump right in. Make it right with Jesus. That's what he's here for. You guys can look up here. Tonight, it's a little different of a response. In just a minute, those of you who said, you know what, I want to give my life to Jesus, you're going to have an opportunity to slip to the back and pray with some people who will be waiting for you. And we'll do that in just a minute, so do not forget about that. But right now, I want to give everybody here the opportunity to just immerse themselves in Jesus. Now, these are the ones, like, if you've given your life to Jesus, or you're one that had just given your life back to him, or you just simply haven't done this before, I want you to listen very, 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 very closely, because we have an amazing opportunity coming up for you to help you immerse yourself deeper into your walk with Jesus. And what that opportunity is, on August 23rd, we are going to have an outdoor water baptism service. There was a bunch of you in Atlanta who expressed an interest saying, I've never been baptized, or I did it when I was really young, and I've made a conscious commitment since then to serve Jesus, and you want to be baptized. And so it's cool. The Bible's clear that if you're a follower of Jesus, that to be baptized in water is a symbol of obedience to him. It's something that he asks all of us to do. In fact, you're sitting in an Assembly of God church right now. We have this thing called the 16 fundamental truths. It means they are absolute truths out of Scripture. The sixth one is two ordinances of the church, two things Jesus commanded us to do in his name. The first one is water baptism. The second one is communion as a way to remember him. So, I mean, it is a total biblical thing. And baptism symbolizes you not only just identifying yourself and immersing yourself in Jesus, but going into the water is symbolic of dying with Jesus and rising up out of the water as that new creation. The New Testament pattern was to accept Jesus and be baptized. And we see in Acts 10, some were baptized right away, some were baptized a little later because they just didn't have the opportunity. And that's where I believe a lot of you are tonight. So Acts 10, 47 through 48. This is Peter talking. He says, surely no one can stand in the way of these people being baptized with water. And he was talking about those that other people didn't think were saved. He was talking about people who were not of Jewish descent. Because traditionally they said, oh, God's people are Jewish. But then the gospel has been extended to all people, to all of us. So that's what he's saying is, man, all of these people have a relationship with Jesus. They've received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Man, I just love that scripture because it shows no matter if we've been saved for like 20 years or 20 seconds, we're eligible for water baptism. If it's our heart to say, I want to follow Jesus the rest of my life, I'm making a commitment to follow him. The old is gone, the new has come, I will serve Jesus. That is just, it's just an amazing thing. Now, do you guys remember in the beginning me talking about the Greek word for baptism? Yes? Stephen's like, yes, Greek. I can see it. The Greek word for baptism in the New Testament is baptizio. It means to go under. It means to fully immerse into. And now this is speaking in water, but the symbolism goes beyond that. It's symbolizing that you're fully immersed into Jesus. Remember us talking about that one passion, that one thing that consumes you. It's symbolic of that. Jesus is my one all-consuming passion. I want to follow him in the waters of being submersed into baptism. You're fully submersing yourself into relationship with Jesus. So if that's you, you're saying, all right, I haven't been baptized and I want to be. I want to do this outward sign. I want to do this. Or you're saying, I was baptized before, but it just maybe wasn't your choice, or it's something that, you know, you've been really away from Jesus for years or even a little bit, and you've given your life back to him, and you're saying, I want to do this again. You can feel free to sign up for that. It's your choice to follow him. And so what I'm going to do, right up here, there's some cards. It's a really simple thing. I'm just going to lay these out across here. If that's you, if you're like, I just want to sign up, I want to be baptized, there's Sharpies, all you got to do is come up and legibly, I cannot stress that enough, legibly, come up to the right of the stage here and write your name on this card. What'll happen is you get a letter in the mail. We'll tell you the specifics of the service time, location, and it's August 23rd, so just remember that. And you can invite your friends, you can invite your family. It's going to be just a really great time. So if that's you, go ahead, just start making your way up there. Feel free to sign up for that. And you can do it right now, you can stand up, don't be shy. If you want to sign up. If you sign up for Atlanta, yeah, you can write your names back on there. So it'll give us a second point. But the rest of us, including the ones up here, you know, we just want to take the last few minutes of our service tonight. We want to respond to Jesus. We want to give him the time to show us the areas of our lives that maybe we haven't given him fully. And you know the areas I'm talking about. Maybe it's your music. Maybe it is your friends. Maybe it's that group of people you keep giving key influence to that you know is not healthy. Maybe it's the movies you're watching. But the question is, will you allow yourself to be fully immersed into Jesus? Fully immersed. Every part of you. Will you give him every part of you? And so tonight, if you were one who raised your hand for salvation, I'm just going to ask you to slip to the back. The rest of us, we're going to dim the lights down. We're going to turn some worship music on. And I want you to just take a little bit of time to get alone with Jesus and ask him to speak to your heart. Lord, what things do I have in my life? What things are in my life? This is personal. This is between you and Jesus. What things are in your life that you just haven't fully given to God? What things are kind of hindering you from going into a full immersion relationship with Jesus? So if that's you, I want you to come on up here. I'm going to ask that you come up to the altar, spend some time with Jesus, ask him to speak with you. So altars are open. Come, find a place.
Thanks again for tuning in to the Rage Student Ministries podcast. We are a local youth ministry located in East Lansing, Michigan. We meet every Wednesday at 7 p.m. If you're ever around, feel free to check us out. Also, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.